Call the Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting to order. First of all, if anybody has any devices that might ring during the meeting, if you'll put them on silent now, appreciate it. And then if you'll stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic of which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. First up is item number three. This is discussion and possible action, approval of the agenda for July the 21st, 2015. Any discussion on this, today's agenda? Hearing none, call for a motion for approval.
I'll move to approve the agenda for July 21st, 2015.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and second to approve the agenda for this date, July 21st, 2015. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Moving along now to item number four, discussion and possible action, approval of the minutes for July the 7th, 2015. Is there any public comment on the minutes for July the 7th? Hearing none, call for a motion for approval.
I'll move to approve the minutes for July 7th, 2015.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and second to approve the minutes for July the 7th, 2015. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And the motion carries. Moving along now. For the consent agenda, does anybody have any discussion regarding today's agenda, consent agenda? Hearing none, call for a motion.
I'll move to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Moving along now to item number nine. This is discussion only. No action or public comment will be taken. This is committee and staff reports. Let's see. Sherry, would you like to start off this morning?
I'll let Joe go first. My
okay, very good. Joe Curtis, Emergency Management.
And good luck with that.
Commissioners, let me give you a map here.
Got it.
I'll make reference to. Just kind of a quick overview here of what's been going on in the Mark Twain area. You know, as you well know, the first time we had an event was on June 10th. And that was, we figured, determined that there was between 3.5 and 4 inches of water that fell at that particular point in time over about a two-hour period of time in a storm that settled over Mark Twain and just stayed there. The next event was July 6th, which carried over 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th, and that was a singular storm system, as according to the Weather Service. And that brought us some other rains, 1.5 to 2 inches on a couple of occasions. As a result of that, the June 10th situation created a little bit of a problem wherein a lot of the soil that was up above in the upper left-hand corner of your map that was coming down off the hills got washed down and into the estates area and then on out of the estates and down into the field. There or into the Lyon County area. That left a lot of the area above the Mark Twain area as pretty hard ground, which meant that when we got the rains of the 6th, 7th, 8th, and along in there, that rain hit that hard ground and the rocks that were exposed and just sheeted on down the hill. As opposed to sinking into any kind of soils, because there was not much there to sink into. And I remember noticing as I was going down through Six Mile Canyon during the course of one of those storms that on the side of Sugarloaf, there was virtually a waterfall that was probably about this wide, and it was coming out. It looked like at one of the waterfalls at Lake Tahoe. I mean, it was amazing. It must have been wider than that, but I'm thinking it was about that. It was surprised, I'd never seen anything like that before down there. But this particular map was put together by Stacy Buccaneri and Kristen Chandler from Building Department, which allowed us to have an initial view of what they did was what's called a windshield preliminary damage assessment. So they went around the whole place and they marked these various things, and they determined that there was approximately 39 residences that had some sort of landscape damage, 165 residences that had some type of driveway or drainage damage to their property, and at least 11 residences that had some form of structural damage or impact to their facility. And then we found that there was about at least four or five different road damage infrastructure problems that we discovered. So in that process, we've done four separate surveys now to some degree. The first one we did was on the Friday after the 6th, which had been 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of the 10th, was with the state of Nevada. And they brought a preliminary damage assessment team up consisting of individuals who essentially put together information to report back to the state of Nevada and then on to FEMA. What they were trying to do is, as you recall, there was these storms impacted Douglas County, Carson, Lyon County, and Story, as well as Washoe significantly. And so they were lumping this region into one big group. And they were trying to put together sufficient damage cost factors that it would meet the appropriate threshold for loss damage to FEMA, which was about $3.9 million that was looking at needed to meet. At this point, it's still questionable as to whether or not they're actually going to be able to meet that from all the counties. One of the things that came home was that all of the counties' public works departments were so efficient that they were able to clean things up in a big hurry and make things right. So a lot of the real damage that was seen and that could have been seen earlier got fixed because all five of these counties' public works departments were phenomenal and as usual with their ability to deal with that. So the second survey that we had to do, FEMA only looks at structural matters, and their survey was pretty good, but it didn't necessarily hit all of the things. The next survey that we did was with the Small Business Administration. The Small Business Administration sounds like an odd thing for them to be looking at residential areas, but they have a flood damage program for low-interest loans to residents that allow residents to go to SBA and get these low-interest loans. We spent the entire last Friday all day going through the area again for the third time, looking for major problems with structures. And we found a number of residences that were built on slabs, for one, and caused water to go into structures. One I can remember was a bedroom, kitchen, bathroom that it all went into, ruined their carpet, and they were doing a lot of mitigation on their own, as were people all over Mark Twain, where they were out there working and doing their own mitigation. There were other areas that had some water that was up so high, 8, 10, 12, 14 inches underneath their homes, that it impacted insulation on the undersides of some of the mobiles, manufactured ones, mud up against sides of buildings, and this sort of thing. The landscaping, there was 8, 10, 12, 14 inches of landscaping that just disappeared out into the field that people had spent hundreds and maybe thousands of dollars putting into their yards, and it just disappeared. So as we discovered all of this, the Small Business Administration is working today. They went back to Sacramento to see if we can meet the threshold for these low-interest loans for some of our residents. Yesterday, I met with County Manager Witten and Austin Osborne and Sherry Nevin, and I were all down there meeting with the resident and looking at some problems that we've had down there. And in that process, I began really looking at and documenting the drainage factors. And these dotted lines represent the drainage areas as you can see them moving through, and they correspond with where these various damages are with the residences and so forth. So, you know, we're looking at ways that we can help to improve some of the drainage factors in that area, which is going to be a large thing to do. And we're looking at some grant opportunities that we may be able to pursue in a number of areas. It significantly impacted this community, and you heard on the news about Sparks and about Douglas County, but you didn't hear anything on the news about Mark Twain. And so a lot of people go, oh, well, why would there be Story County problems? Well, it is an alluvial area, and as a result, so then, you know, it's like living in Virginia City. It hits the top of the mountains, and it just flows right through us. Same sort of situation down there. But there was some significant damages. I mean, particularly people with their landscaping and some beautiful landscaping in some of these yards. The water will take its own way. Mother Nature says, I want to go a certain way. And it, regardless of what you might have put in for a ditch, it doesn't always go along with that. And so we found that out in looking at some things yesterday. So there's some drainages that need to be considered regarding that as a long-term potential mitigation thing that we're going to be looking at. So with those thoughts in mind, that's kind of a general overview of what occurred since essentially June 10th. And we're under actually a flash flood warning for later this afternoon for Story County. So hopefully they will the rain gods will decide that they want to go someplace else for the afternoon. So, but we have to wait and see. I would open that if you have any questions from the commissioners. Concerns, thoughts?
We'll start, Jack.
Well, first I appreciate all the work you've done with this plan trying to find out the damage. And secondly, I'd like to thank you for sending the weather forecast, whatever the emergency weather forecast. Now, I don't know who all is receiving that.
That goes out to, incidentally, I don't make those up. I get those from an official source. those go out to what I refer to. I have two groups that I send that out to and a couple of extra additional people. It goes out to what I call the expanded emergency coordination center personnel. Essentially, that's all the department heads. Because the information is information that generally goes to personnel that have a need to really know about what we're looking at as we move into a certain time space. I have a second distribution thing that says that is the actual core of the Emergency Communication Center, which would be like Dean and Mike and myself and Sherry and Pat and the three commissioners are within that core. So it's a smaller group. I don't use that one very much. That one it would be only if we had an Emergency Operations Center going and functioning, that would be used. Then I have several people who have wanted it. For instance, I also include Rebecca Fielding for the CERT team, so that she has, and then I think she forwards it on out too. There's nothing secret about the information. It's just that's how we have been distributing it. It could be distributed wider, as people tell me they want. We also distribute it to Yates Construction out at Tesla. I met with them probably a year ago now, and they wanted that kind of information. So they're receiving it also.
What about like the Highlands websites or other websites that several, you know, let's say groups of people pay attention to?
No, it doesn't normally go to them. No one's ever suggested that before, to be honest with you. I don't know what that address is. I'd have to get that. There's no reason it can't go there. Absolutely. Anything else that you might have suggestions and direction?
Jack, I think a better way to do it might be coming from you as the commissioner, and there's nothing to keep you from going ahead and posting that to Jim.
I think that's
a smoother, and I think I'd hate to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
That's right.
I think the key information here is please share it with whoever
exactly.
of you all see fit, you know,
yeah.
because it is sometimes Joe sees some rather interesting stuff that doesn't get out to the public, but there's the only issue I think you're going to find perhaps might be a lot of times the update comes for this afternoon, and I don't know that Jim is robust enough and equipped, but it's better to send it. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
So, thank you. Anything else, Lance?
Yeah, no, I'm impressed with the community response. It's a wonderful place where we live. I know that when the events were taking place, it was all hands on the cook down there doing their best to salvage automobiles and people in trouble and clean up what's quickly done. I am aware and I think all of us should be thankful that the staff from your desk and county manager's desk and everywhere I'm looking are committees being formed and plans being done. I understand that there's a new flood study under consideration where we could where we can address the issue. I don't know that mankind can ever stop these catastrophic events that Mother Nature plans for us. I don't know that you can build large enough dams break. but in this case, the whole community's banded together to do everything we can to mitigate the future with this. And Joe, I think a real thank you to you. You have worked tirelessly to
put all this
together, and thank you so very much for that.
You're welcome.
But I think the important thing to share with the entire community is there's a lot of intellectual product being focused on this and financing, and you're looking at all the ways to finance and loans, et cetera. And in the meantime, I think every department is looking at how we can assist and make things better for the future. We better hurry because the rains continue to come. So I'm
That's right.
We can get ahead of that.
El Nino is on the rise, and that's what I'm getting from the Weather Service. Quite some time ago, I set up a kind of a personal line back and forth with the Weather Service because Story County is most certainly a microclimate within itself, and we have some unique situations in terms of how weather impacts the Comstock, and even into Mark Twain. Mark Twain is pretty much the same as the Dayton area, but the Comstock, BC is definitely is unique, and the Highlands is somewhat unique because of the mountain configuration.
Well, and I can address out at TRI. We've done millions of dollars worth of flood design and implementation. Mm-hmm. It's there. And yet I've seen events over the last 2 or 3 years that just completely wipe that stuff out.
Yeah.
It's just incredible what can happen. So all we can do is band together and keep working at it and get ahead of it. And you're doing that now.
We're trying to
thank Pat and everybody. Everybody in staff meeting this morning are focused on what can we do to help assist and do better. So
absolutely.
I think that's the message that needs to be sent.
In fact, I'm meeting with Mike Nevin after this meeting down in Mark Twain to go over further some other things relating to the drainage and what to do on an immediate basis with that, too.
So. Joe, back to the FEMA and SBA, are these all low-interest loans, or is there any grant monies available for stuff like this?
It's generally all low-interest loans.
Because it is private property?
Yes, yeah, because infrastructure is a little different. The FEMA, it's a grant, it's match money with most of the stuff. They have, as you're aware, you know, we have the currently in operation or in the immediate future looking at is the hazard mitigation grant for the Six Mile Canyon drainage. And that's been a almost 5 year now project just to get that thing going. That's a FEMA project that has a match factor to it that we're pursuing. But that same hazard mitigation grant system is something else that we're looking at as a possibility.
Well, that being said, because this is a lower-income neighborhood of the county, and even if there are loans available at low interest, some of these people might not be able to afford to even get the loans.
And
simply
yeah.
because of, you know, their economic conditions down there.
We've also, in talking with Sherry, and Sherry has instituted and will be pursuing another study, an income study for the Mark Twain area that we're going to have to market quite severely to develop that income base factor. That's in progress as well.
I think the promotional side of that is so important. The folks down there don't realize they need to sign those surveys.
That's
they
true.
Need to send them. If they will, then we can bring financial help from other. But if in the last survey we did, we just didn't get the participation, and not much you could do.
Unfortunately, yeah, we got to cross the T's and dot the I's, and
yeah.
and it doesn't happen unless we can get folks to do that.
Cool. So. In any event, I mean, Public Works has done a tremendous job down there. I mean,
they've
been down there on multiple occasions. I mean, every time there's a storm, you know, they put out all the other projects on the back burner and go down there and start cleaning up the neighborhoods again to get traffic through and that. Because there's a lot of topsoil laying by the sides of the roads down there now.
There is.
An enormous amount of water came down through these canyons between here and Mark Twain.
One of the other things that we have to collect when we present information to FEMA is information how much time was put in by various, say, Public Works or other county officials, and what are they? What's their pay rate? How much money was expended on doing this? Even getting down into detail of what size of a bulldozer was used or a front loader, what size of a motor does it have? If the dump truck, what size of a dump bed is that? Does that dump truck, and it's significant. And so Susan at Public Works put a lot of that information together for me in a big hurry, very kind of what you can get is, you know, we get what we can get and try to put it together. But between, you know, there's all the people just come together, and it's always been that way. You know, and I think it's a matter of that we all feel that this is our community. It is a smaller county, of course, and this is our community, and this is how we do things here. You know,
and it can't go without saying the dozens of hours that you put in down there. That Joe Curtis is the face of Mark Twain these days.
yeah.
When somebody opens the door, they go to you again.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, just try to do the best thing because it's my community.
Your service is much appreciated by.
Thank you.
Not only by
the
people you work with, but by the residents of Mark Twain.
Thank you, Marshall. Appreciate
yeah.
it.
You will have, with Susan numbers, you'll have significant focus on overtime as well for Mike's crew.
Yes.
Because they've been out there to the wee hours, as you well know.
Yep.
You and I, on the other hand, and others, well.
yeah. All righty.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Okay, so since Sherry lets you go first, we'll bring Sherry up second. Ms. Sherry Nevin from Community Services.
Good morning, Commission. Sherry Nevin for the record. Just kind of to go along with what Joe mentioned about that income survey, we will be launching that hopefully sometime in the fall. It's not an undertaking that can take place tomorrow. We have to use a third-party entity to come in and work with us on that survey. And we'll be working with Rural Community Assistance Corporation. With that being said, we are trying to plan a town hall meeting in Mark Twain towards the end of August at the community center to get all the residents together to speak about the flood, income survey, and several other issues in that community. So more information will be forthcoming on that as we move forward. Just a reminder that the Virginia City Highlands is hosting their Community Awareness Day this Saturday from 10 to 2 at the fire station. It's a great opportunity if you've got some time Saturday morning to come out and meet your neighbors and learn about the services in your community. We have about 75 Fulbright scholars coming to the Comstock on August 19th. We had them here last year. They loved it so much. They have a new group that wants to come back and see us. So there's no cost to the county. UNR pays all the expenses. We've coordinated a lunch for them at the park, taking them on a train ride, and then doing a panel discussion at the Fourth Ward School to end the day. So it should be a fairly fun day. If you've got some time in the afternoon and want to join us at the Fourth Ward School about 4:30, we'd love to have you. USDA has come out with a program to assist homeowners with wells. That's been a big issue in several areas of our community. The only problem with this is income guidelines apply. So, you know, it's not going to help the whole entire population if you've got to meet their income guidelines because it is federal funding. So if anyone needs any more information on that, I've got it. Austin has some information as well. National Night Out, I'm not sure if the Sheriff's Office was planning to mention that, but that is coming up on August 4th from 4 to 7, both here in Virginia City and at the Lockwood Park as well. And we also have our health fair coming up November 7th, Piper's Opera House. We've got flu shot clinics scheduled throughout the month of October at our senior centers and community centers here in the county, so flyers will be coming out on that. And that is all I have. If anyone has any questions for me.
Great. Thank you, Sheriff. The County Recorder's Office, Jim Chapman. Nothing today? Very good. From the Mark Twain Community Center, Mr. Engelbrecht. Mrs. Engelbrecht. Any reports from Mark Twain Community Center today?
I think Sherry covered everything quite well. Thank you.
Very good. All right. How about out of planning, Mr. Van Havel?
Nothing to say, thank you.
How about of human resources today, Mr. Osberg?
Thank you, Commissioners. A couple items here. Talk a little bit about the master plan process and what it is and where it's going. We did meet on July 16th down in the Highlands, and that was really following a statement that was sent out to both of the HOA boards as an invitation from myself and our staff to go and visit with them and talk about the master plan and talk about some of the elements of it that apply to the Highlands as well as elsewhere in the county. And so I had put together a proposed text of discussion. And that text was about putting a commercial use in the Highlands. There had been substantial number of people that had come to me over the years saying they weren't necessarily interested in it, but asked me, would you like to talk about it in the public forum, allow the residents of the Highlands to discuss whether they want or don't want something like a small store, a tack and feed shop or something like that out of Five Mile Flat or elsewhere in the Highlands. So I put together a little bit of text as a draft, sent it to the HOA boards and said, I'd like to discuss this with you all and your public that attends at that meeting, see what you think or see how we might amend it or throw it out altogether if that's what the people in the Highlands want. So we did get a number of people at the July 16th meeting to discuss that item. And since then, I've seen quite a bit of correspondence coming into my office, completely opposed to the idea of any commercial uses in the Highlands. So accordingly, I went ahead and redrafted some language, put it to the HOA boards, and said, when you guys invite me over, let's talk about both drafts. Let's talk about the one that says four. Let's talk about the new one that says, you know, in no way would this kind of a use ever be considered in the Highlands, that people don't want it, et cetera, et cetera. That is out now. It's on the web blog. I understand, too, the HOA board put it on the blog. And when I go out there to their meeting, I'm going to ask them all, let's talk about both drafts. Where do you all want to be in the Highlands with these types of uses, as well as other types of uses, including housing, northeast connect or north-south connectors, east-west connectors, roads, whatever. And so all of that draft right now is text. It's draft. It's not even proposed. It's just up for discussion. And I really want to emphasize the importance of the community really providing me their comments, whether they like it or don't, or whether they like the concept or don't, because these comments become part of the official record, and that official record is really what backs your master plan up one day when it's challenged, whether it's 5, 10, or 20 years from now, when somebody comes for a zone change or they come for a use that we don't feel is right for the area. It's going to be these comments that are providing to my office and to our staff and to each other that go to us that back the master plan up in those decisions to deny something or approve something. So I very much welcome that, regardless of the level of controversy, regardless of the level of discomfort it might be. I very much welcome the comments that are coming into my office, and I look forward to the meetings out there with the HOA boards. I will be going out on July 25th during the Highlands Barbecue, and I'll be available to anybody out there that wants to just casually come and talk with me about that or anything else related to planning and the master plan. And I'm also scheduled to be on the HOA for the Highlands VCHPOA on August 11th, and I'm going to give a very short presentation just where we are, and then I'm going to step aside and let those boards go ahead and deal with their normal business. If there's nothing else on master plan, I just want to let you know I did have the first meeting with the Comstock Historic District on updating our sign ordinance. Again, we're not looking at throwing the baby out with the bathwater, but we are looking at making some adjustments to the sign ordinance with regard to the Comstock District on what might be appropriate for encouraging economic development and allowing particularly hardship businesses that are off the beaten path to be able to get some business and attraction to their sites while also being historically appropriate. The Historic District did delegate a small subcommittee to work with me and the Planning Commission and Jason in developing this next draft, and ultimately that draft will come to this board for final approval, disapproval, or changes, or whatever. But this will definitely be a community-wide effort to make sure we have a sign ordinance that really meets the historic needs, the cultural needs, as well as the business needs of our community. That's the objective. The parking lot next door. It's still moving along, working on the red lines of that. There's just back and forth on text and language and electricity and kilowatts and all different kinds of things, but that parking lot process is moving forward. Far West is now reviewing my latest red lines and getting those back to me. I'll keep you updated on the progress next door, and then once that's done, then you'll start seeing the process for bidding. Floodplain ordinance, I'm going to be very brief. Bob Morris and I are going to look at the floodplain ordinance along with Dean's office as well as the floodplain manager and just make some minor adjustments to the floodplain manager and the floodplain ordinance management. And really most of that will have to do with delegation of authority to the different department heads. And there will be a component here that will tie in with Joe Curtis, with Dean's office and Mike's office and my office, and looking at Mark Twain as a whole and what planning we need to do down in Mark Twain. I'm not going to speak too much on this because I believe Pat has a couple things he might want to bring up with Mark Twain and possibilities down there, but that will also be tied in with the floodplain ordinance. Last or not last, we have a couple more van pools apparently going down in the Tri-Center. VPI van pools as well as the local restaurants have been kind of teaming up together, and VPI is out there saying if you just listen to us for 8 minutes, we kind of show you what the van pool is, we'll give you a $5 discount to go in and have a nice lunch, and they're going to all the restaurants, so the restaurants benefit from this as well. And really it's been management out at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center that's been most interested, asking questions about how do I do this, what risk does my company take by doing it, what are our options. And that's really been an effective way of getting that communication out. And two vans is a big deal. That's battery systems we believe are going to do those vans. And we're real excited about that. And last but not least, I want to talk about internally with some of our staffing matters on the human resources side is nationwide through their VPI, which is veterinary pet insurance, provides pet insurance for anybody that wants to have that. I did work with their company as well as with our staff and our management and maybe providing a benefit like that to our county employees at no cost to the county. Essentially what that means is that we just endorse the company, and by being in a group, the employees or any of the members that are part of that can get a discount on their premiums for that. And at that point where that is just an endorsement, there's no cost to the taxpayers. It's a zero sum for anything in the budget. It's similar to what we do with Colonial and some of them in Aflac and some of these other types of insurance programs. But I do want to let you know I'm also working with VPI on the possibility that maybe they would accept, if you're a Story County resident, that maybe you might also have access to those discounts. And there might be mechanisms to be able to do that, similar like what we do with the NACO prescription discount card or something like that, that any resident of Story County can go down to a prescription CVS Pharmacy and take advantage of those discounts simply by being a Story County resident. I'd be happy to give you an update on that progress as well as these other items. And that's it. Thank you.
Any questions for Austin? Nothing? Okay, great. Thank you, Austin. The Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. The last couple of weeks have had a fury of meetings regarding some very special and interesting projects. There was a meeting with the Department of Taxation concerning a couple of items. First is SB 170, which obviously includes the abatements that were coming to switch out of the industrial park. That was, we were trying to find out if those abatements included the 3/4 cent option taxes, and we have since found out that those option taxes are not going to be collected on behalf of the Department of Taxation, so the 2% that goes to the state will definitely go to the state and nobody else. We discussed some things about medium-term financing with regard to a Quint fire truck that was a special use truck for the UC Industrial Park, for the most part Tesla, because of its the length of its ladder, on how to properly go through that, understanding the fact that there are some agreements that come back for repayment of that. There was also some discussion on the sales tax collection and distribution. And this was a request by our public-private partner to find out if there is a measuring point at any point in time during that process for which we could measure sales tax and possible distribution to our public partner. And last was a meeting with them concerning the B&T Rail Commission. We had a subsequent meeting the following week with Commissioner McGuffey and two of their principals concerning the payments that Story County makes through a pass-through or through a voter-approved resolution and resolution in 2010 that started January 2011. And for the most part, the understanding is that we want to know in those particular years, based upon the interlocal agreement, whether or not they abided by the interlocal agreement. That has not been done. Consequently, we have we've withheld funds until such time as we can get some sort of comment from them. I believe that we are going to go forward with that. I have got the audit procedures and the audit things that we need to have relative to an audit of that place, strictly to with regards to the interlocal agreement. I am going to pass that off to an independent certified public accounting firm because there is independence involved in this. So as soon as that gets done, we'll get started on that. And that should not take very long. And we should put this to bed in a very short period of time. So that is my comments on that. Anything from the commission?
Of course, we just recently, within the last day or two, received a proposal from them on they need money. The Department of Taxation needs money to accept our annual audit. Is that what that is? And so the commission, the V&T commission, is looking for Story County to help out and support that. And I can't remember how many dollars, 320,000
something, yeah.
And because they're pretty much broke. They're working on a shoestring budget.
Right.
And we said, sure, but we want some collateral, so we're discussing possibly using the Draco property down there that they've put up for sale as collateral. So, but this final or another proposal came in just the day before yesterday. I did forward it on to our county manager and you to, so we can do a little powwow and see what it looks like.
Right. I don't anticipate the audit taking very much and taking long. And once we've got a reconciliation of what we think or what is collectively agreed upon that they owe us back, then my recommendation is we do another interlocal agreement that specifies, you know, a little bit more in detail so we can follow this on a month-to-month basis, what's happening down there. And it may be also that, you know, we may be able to help them because of this audit more than anything else to find out where their struggling points are, because they're struggling with several things. And we may be able to give them a hand through either through some of what we do here or at the Tourism Commission or a combination of both. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Any questions for you?
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. All right. From the Sheriff's Office, we have Tony Dosen here today. Anything from the Sheriff's Office today?
Nothing today.
Very good. District Attorney Langer?
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman.
Deputy DA, Mr. Loomis?
Nothing today.
County Manager, Mr. Witten?
Okay. Let me start off first and report for Chief Hames. We took delivery a few weeks back of our three new structure engines. Chairman McBride and I got up early on a Saturday morning and watched two of the three roll into Kent Town. It was a pretty cool deal. Anyway, two of the three have been deployed and are in service. Engine 71 is in service in Virginia City. Engine 72 is in service in the Highlands. Engine 74 is going through its final punch list and additional equipping and should be ready hopefully for deployment to Lockwood either today or tomorrow latest. We also, just before taking delivery of those three trucks, also took delivery of our new chassis and refurbished cabs on our three ambulances. Those have been stocked and fully equipped now, and they are in service in Virginia City, the Highlands, and Lockwood. We did purchase, as Hugh mentioned, a 105 or 110 foot aerial ladder truck, more commonly referred to as a Quint. We spent a little time chatting about this when Tesla and the government services agreement was inked a couple of meetings back. They will be making those payments for us, or actually paying us in advance of our making payments. We anticipate taking delivery in about 60 days. It's a little more complex. This is about a four-year-old engine coming out of the Chicago area. We're waiting for Chicago to take delivery of their newer, smaller Quint. And at which time we'll have to pay for the Quint itself in terms of debt financing that Comptroller Gallagher is arranging. And then it'll be refurbished down in Las Vegas with a company called Fire Trucks Unlimited. We anticipate or hoping that it is in service within about the next 60 days. And lastly, and some of us probably thought this day would never come, and I'm glad to say this, because we certainly have been experiencing ever-increasing call volumes out there. We anticipate restaffing and reopening our Station 75 out at the Industrial Center on August 10th. That'll give us a great anchor out there. It'll also allow us to fulfill our promises we made to the Washoe County Commission in conjunction with the boundary line adjustment. We said we'd help them out on a first responder basis, and we're good to go on August 10th. Actually, the crews are going to come on 2 weeks in advance of that and have orientation and training. Gary said he's never been more impressed with a field of applicants. These were laterals in from a lot of other departments, both in Nevada and one from California. He got a very good crew. He does not plan on putting totally new firefighters out at Tri-Though. The operation is important enough that we're going to take one seasoned firefighter, EMT, paramedic, from each of our existing shifts and put them out there and match them with the new one and then backfill with the other three. So that's a banner day for us to get that back open, thanks to Tesla. On my behalf, I wasn't really going to talk much more about Mark Twain. I certainly echo the commission's deepest thanks to both Mike Nevin, Joe Curtis. But since Austin said that I was going to talk more about it, I will. We did convene a small team that will include Mike Nevin, Sherry Nevin, Austin, and Dean Haymore now. And I'm missing somebody, Joe Curtis, of course. And we'll expand that. We'll probably rotate commissioners in and out since Mark Twain is our one community that has representation from both Lance and from Marshall. We'll work through that on an as-available basis. And we are going to address this as proactively as we can, still being conscious of, you know, what's been said at this very table today and earlier. I mean, these acts of God are, you know, almost impossible to predict and really are impossible to prevent no matter what you do. I think Lance gave, you know, compelling information on that out at Tri. But there are hopefully good mitigations. There definitely are steps that we need to do. We need to update our flood plan. We had one done in 2009 for the entire county that was kind of a macro plan, if you will. We need to now focus this in, particularly in Mark Twain, since they are getting hit storm after storm. And if for no other reason besides helping the good citizens down there, it's also very counterproductive on our time. We fix it up, and then the next storm comes, and we're right back fixing it up again. So we're focused on that. We hope with Sherry's help to be able to come up with some grant sources, like she mentioned, inclusive of, I anticipate, although I've got to work this through this with our deputy district attorney and district attorney, anticipate probably for at least this current, if not a past and possibly even a future $10,000 community grant. While we've got proponents out there that are proposing wonderful projects like a veterans memorial that are certainly very well deserved, that we might have to just defer that or look for other sources of funding and spend some money down there. There's just really, there's a lot of good people suffering. I never forget a couple that came into my office 2 weeks ago, and then we met with yesterday, and they've got problems, but they also have solutions. And I love that kind of strategy. It's like, you know, here's what I think you can do. Mike Nevin came back after, you know, seeing his son-in-law retire from the military after a great career, and immediately jumped on this and is literally, I think, down there right now with his field boss, Larry Evans. So I'm proud of the team, and I commit to Ron and Barbara and all the residents down there that we will do whatever it takes, and we'll do as much of it as is humanly possible. The concerns we have, of course, are some of this stuff takes time. You know, we don't have right-of-ways. Our legal counsels get a little bit antsy when we just start cutting ditches and doing things. So, you know, we've got to work through a little bit of that. We will try to make smart measures in the meantime, like the one we looked at on Wagon Wheel, hopefully, that we think we can affect fairly easily, and we probably won't have to undo. We know that we've got to be very conscious of the fact that rechanneling the water or attempting to rechannel the water, as Joe said, it follows its own path no matter what you do. But attempting to rechannel that water, ultimately we don't want to cause bigger problems downstream, so to speak. I mean, there were literally videos out there of a guy kayaking. The water flows were so significant for, you know, the 50 minutes or so of the event. I promise we're working on it. Ron and Barbara, if you could spread the word. Yesterday we were traveling down there with one of the citizens, and when we happened to go by our community center, a lot of the topsoil was placed, I'm going to call it probably on the east end of the burn pile. That's available to any resident of Story County. I guess I'll specify any resident of Mark Twain of Story County that wants it.
because quite frankly, it's probably theirs in the first place. So if you've got a pickup truck and a loader or whatever you've got and it strategically helps, you're welcome to it. And I'm saying that publicly so that, you know, the one resident was afraid he was going to wind up in jail for stealing our dirt. And we said, no, it's really yours. So so that's it. We'll probably be looking, like I said, at the community grant fund. And I appreciate Ron's understanding in particular for the higher and greater need. I don't believe our DA mentioned this, but second on our radar screen, and it kind of comes up, particularly when I go back down to Mark Twain and I see a perennial nuisance that just irritates the heck out of me on Sam Clemens. Our DA has committed, and our deputy DA, although he probably doesn't know this, to really turn up the pressure on some of these nuisances, you know, and get going with them. I'm going to take the DA down with me right after this meeting, I believe, and we're going to look at the one that I have in mind. It's appalling and is a danger. So that's my report, Chairman.
Any questions for Pat? None? Okay. County Clerk, Ms. Stevens? Nothing today? Very good. All right. We're going to go ahead and move on to item number 10. This is board comment. No action. No public comment will be taken. Commissioner McGuffey?
Yes. Well, we've covered the DAT already, so I'll move on. The Fourth Ward School would like to thank the county for a little bump in their contribution from the county.
They would like us to, or they want to thank us? I missed that.
No, they want to thank us for that.
Okay.
Okay.
Commissioner McGuffey, also Barbara and Laura have been great to work with. We've got new welcome signs that we're waiting for Mike's crew to go up, and they're very flexible in where we might be able to locate him with just a little strategic thing, not trying to interrupt or distract from the photo opportunities of that treasure. So they've been wonderful to work with.
I believe they understand the signs going towards the north end of the school.
That wasn't the last conversation I had with them. Okay.
Well, that was what I got out of the meeting. But they did bring up that the signage was going to be moved, and I could have swore they thought they believe it's on the north end. It's like, okay.
I'll work with it.
I thought it would be more on the south.
The last intent was it was going to actually go in the south, fairly close to the existing sign of theirs, and then we're going to relocate their sign, but even a little bit further south, so pictures from straight across the street would really probably not even see the sign. I'll work with them.
Okay, all right. But they're very appreciative of our support. NACO, I've kind of been out of the loop with NACO. I am on the board due to health issues. I had to depend on Chairman McBride and Pat Whitten to fill in for me. They attended the last convention just recently, and I heard it was a great convention. And I appreciate you guys filling in for me. This past weekend, we had our third annual car show, and it was a success. I'd like to thank the county for their support in setting up the park for us and cleaning out the barbecue and having it all ready to go. And again, the biggest compliment is the park. Everybody loves the park. It sounds like we had a record number of 83 registered cars. We had about 110 cars there total. The only complaint was the people that got there a little later had to park up on D Street parking lot. And they felt the cash from the car show. Again, I'm going to revisit the baseball field. We were talking about that last year, about parking on it, maybe coning off the sprinkler heads. Just kind of giving you a heads up. I attended the Jeep Posse dinner, and I have to say it was kind of the normal crowd, a good crowd, and I think they did well. But my hat's off to the chefs. You know, I've kind of I have to admit that I've been kind of disappointed with the steaks. They've been a little dry and tough, and this year they were melt-in-your-mouth steaks. They were awesome, and I've heard that from several people. So that's all I have to say.
Terrific. Commissioner Gilman.
Just a couple of thoughts. I'd like to just touch briefly on the master planning process, and I appreciated very much, Austin, your comments. And without drilling down too deeply, the master planning process is a critical opportunity for our communities to communicate and to do some far-reaching land planning and to visit with the situations that we'd like to see happen in our communities and the land uses, and also to debate the things that we don't want to have in our communities, which gives us a certain amount of help if we're facing something in the future where we have development coming in, and we've already debated the fact what we would or. And I was disappointed here briefly in some of the misunderstandings that I believe are out there by some of the folks in the communities. And so they wanted to perhaps inadvertently find fault with the fact that we were merely having within our community and within our staff and our programs, we were merely having discussions. We were analyzing what do we want in the future, what do we don't want. And I believe that it was taken out of context and perhaps misinterpreted badly. But I'd like to encourage everybody to attend the master planning meetings. That's what they're for. Talk about what the community and the neighborhoods want and don't want. That's what they're for. And by getting that on the record, we have a defensive position if something comes in that we don't want to have in our community. And, you know, we could talk about some of the projects that have come in the past that have cost us a lot of money in court. And we don't have to do that if we do a good job of our master planning. So I just like to send out that message to the neighborhoods and the people. Come and talk, but it's an open forum where we can discuss, review, and consider things, and not be ganging up on the folks to think that we're trying to bring some negative or something with a bad connotation to the neighborhood. It's a spirit of cooperation that's to the benefit of everybody, and I just kind of had a personal want to attach that. The other thing I'd like to address briefly is I have brought up at this desk on more than one occasion, and I am looking for some property tax relief and property rollback relief, and I'm really encouraging staff to look at that for this coming year. I realize that we are changing some of our protocols, and we've gone off a fair share, and we have some serious issues to look at, but I can tell you I've had contact with a number of residents in our county, and they're looking forward to our community assisting, rolling back, and allowing them to share in the prosperity that we're all enjoying. You know, our departments and our staffs, and we're all having an opportunity to enhance our programs. And I really am wanting to see our residents to share in that prosperity. And that means that from a staff level, we need to look carefully at how can we do some give back. And this is July, and we're kicking off with a new fiscal year, and I think that it's time to bring that back to the table. I've had probably 5 calls from residents, and they've received their tax bills here recently and said, gosh, mine just went up $36. I thought it was going to go the other way. I said, well, I kind of would like to see it do that myself. So, but hopefully we can revisit and drill down into that and do some good tax planning. So that's my moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Last week, County Manager Whitman and myself, we attended the National NACO Conference in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's a great event. It was extremely hot back east, about 105 degrees, so it was temperature was a little bit too much for me. But the conference was very well run. There's a lot of opportunity at these conferences. You get to, we had a great contingent from Nevada's, the Nevada delegation of NACO. That's the first time I've ever seen anybody from Las Vegas attend. So one of their county commissioners, Larry Walker, Lawrence Walker, I believe is his name, and he attended, as were two commissioners from Washoe County, Mineral, Nye, Was it Elko? No, it was Churchill County. So we had a pretty good contingent there, and we all get to have dinner one evening together while we're there. The conference consists of many workshops, which is I consider continuing education, or for those of us who are new in government, it's initial education on the way how government works. And so both Pat and I sat in on several of the workshops. We're entertained by the president's cabinet secretaries, that Ashton Carter, who's the defense secretary, he spoke for about an hour one afternoon. And then on another given day, Anthony Fox, who's the Secretary of Transportation, he also spoke and blamed all of our highway problems on the Congress. So in any event, they're still working to go ahead and refund the Transportation Trust Fund, which is going to be broke, I think, by the end of August. And it looks like they're working diligently on that. And this filters all the way down, to the federal level, the state level, to the county and the city level. So looking forward then to funding that. Then there's entertainment factors. We have Brad Daughtry, who is a former basketball player with Cleveland Cavaliers and played for Dean Smith at North Carolina. He's a success story, saved us money. He's a broadcaster for ESPN, for NASCAR. It was a lot of fun. Television newscast is Soledad O'Brien. She was also a guest speaker one afternoon. She did a really good job of giving us her liberal views. So it was entertaining. It was exciting. I enjoy these. This is, I think, my eighth NACO conference between state and federal. So it's a nice learning curve for those of us to go forward. The thing I learned the most out of these is how fortunate Story County and the state of Nevada are. I talk to county commissioners from all over the country, and if you live in some of these counties in the Appalachians or West Virginia or Ohio, where the federal government has basically shut down your coal mining operations or your coal-fired power plants or your logging and milling processes, that's all some of these counties have. That's their whole industry, and without that, These guys go from riches to rags overnight, and these have become extremely poor counties, and they're not sure what direction they're going to go into. The part of the South that we're in, the Carolinas and Georgia, they've always been the textile belt, and so they're learning how to go ahead and rejuvenate their industry by co-oping with other companies and building a brand new infrastructure. So it was a very interesting and very informative conference of how small counties, how they can survive when they get in big trouble. And I only bring that up because it wasn't that long ago where Story County was in dire straits. And of course we've been fortunate enough with good leadership to pull ourselves back up and becoming a success story. That of course, you know, when you talk about where's Virginia City or where's Story County, as soon as you say, well, did you hear about Tesla, then they say, okay, we know who you are now. I mean, Tesla has gone worldwide, so it's transforming the business world on what Nevada has to offer. So that's all I have on the NACO conference. Moving along, we don't have Denny here today talking about tourism. Commissioner McGuffey brought up the car show last weekend. That was terrific. I was able to drive through there before I left town, and it was great to see all the old cars. It's kind of a lead up to the first weekend in August, which will be July the 31st and August the 1st, where Virginia City is going to be host to Hot August Nights. We're going to get the first weekend before the event moves on to Reno. We didn't steal it from South Lake Tahoe, but South Lake Tahoe and Hot August Nights, I guess, came to a parting of ways. And so this is really exciting for us. I think we're going to have registration up here for cars. They're going to put up tents. They're going to have different booths of all the Hot August Nights stuff. They're going to have music, food and beverage. So this is something that, if it pans out well this year, can go on in the future, and really excited to see this happen. Also, last week, we had another motorcycle event that came to town, which is somewhat unannounced, but it was the Blue Knights Motorcycle Club. These guys are mostly retired and current police officers, hence the Blue Knights. Mm-hmm. And it was a big success. Not all of them drove their motorcycles. A lot of them drove their private vehicles, but there were motorcycles all over town, a bunch of police officers and their wives. And anytime we have a special event like that that comes to town, it's extremely good for the merchants in town. So we're happy to see them come to town, and we hope they put us on their radar for the future. I think I've covered everything there. Sorry I'm so long-winded, but I'd like to get it out to you all. That being said, we're going to move on now to item number 11. This is discussion, possible action, consideration of letters of interest, and appointment of planning commissioner to fill the vacancy and representative precinct number 4, which is the Mark Twain area, on the Story County Planning Commission. The vacancy was posted, and letters of interest were received by June 26, 2015. Austin, did you want to take this?
Thank you, Mr. Commissioners, and I'll speak to you on both planning and HR, I guess, on this. Unfortunately, Laura Kakuli, who had been representing the Mark Twain District down there for the past term, had retired. She's involved still in the Mark Twain community with her center, but she's got so many things going on in her medical profession and other things that she just very regretfully had to step down. She's expressed that she still may want to serve on that board again if it ever becomes available, and I certainly would welcome her. She's been really an amazing asset for our community. So we went ahead and did the posting per our policy for a new planning commissioner that lives in the Mark Twain District in Precinct 4, and we did get the application from Mr. Engelbrick to serve on that, and he provided a letter of interest as well as a very impressive list of qualifications on why he would be a good planning commissioner. I did put in that posting and told Mr. Engelbrick, you know, what is a planning commissioner, and really a planning commissioner is almost like a judge in essence. Is not a professional in planning, is not a professional in all the minor intricacies of planning. That's what planning staff does. A planning commissioner is somebody who's impartial, somebody who cares about the community, and somebody who's from that community and who can make decisions for and representing the people of the area regarding various land use matters across the county, including their area. So accordingly, staff does recommend and has provided you a staff summary with all of the attachments that Mr. Ron Engelbrick has appointed to serve the remaining portion of Laura Kakuli's term, and then at that point, that person, he would be available to be reappointed per our policy and our codes.
Very good.
And Mr. Engelbrick is with us as well, if you wish to call him up.
Any questions for Austin or for Mr. Engelbrick?
Mr. Engelbrick's a great selection.
I concur.
Stellar resume, Mr. Engelbrick. Stellar. Probably couldn't have asked for a better candidate to go ahead and apply for this position.
Especially somebody who's been so strongly involved in his community for the past decade. It's just been really amazing and really appreciative for your community and for the county as a whole. And I'm honored to recommend this person for this position.
You're not required to speak. If you'd like to, you're welcome to come to the podium.
I'll pass.
Okay. Anybody else have any public comment on the recommendation of the appointment of Ron Engelbrick?
I do, just briefly. I just want to thank both Ron and Barbara for always stepping up to the plate. You know, I can think of a handful of times probably that we faced a need down there, and Chairman McBride earlier referred to leadership, and I've dealt with the Mark Twain community since getting elected in 1999, and the one thing it certainly lacked, I think, at that stage was a nexus in leadership. And, you know, pioneers like Laura Kakuli, but also you and others, but you specifically, the two of you, because I know it's a tag team oftentimes with you, have just done a phenomenal job making that place a lot of what it is today in a great way. So thank you.
Terrific. Okay. With that being said, commissioners, I'm looking for a motion to appoint Ron Engelbrick, the Planning Commission.
And Mr. Commissioners, there is an actual motion on item number 5, if you would choose to read that in your motion.
Say that again.
You just said that there is an actual motion. In
number 2.
I think I found that. Thank you very much. I, Lance Gilman, motion to appoint Mark Twain resident Ron Engelbrick to fill the current Precinct 4 Mark Twain District vacancy on the Story County Planning Commission.
I'll second that motion.
Very good. We have a motion, a second, to appoint Ron Engelbrick to the Story County Planning Commission. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Thank you.
Welcome, Ron.
Welcome aboard, Ron. Moving along now at item number 12, discussion of possible action, approval and acceptance of a community development block grant, award in the amount of $114,206 for cabin chassis upgrade to the Story County Fire Protection District Lockwood Ambulance, and authorization for Sherry Nevin to sign all associated grant documentation. Ms. Nevin.
Thank you very much. Sherry Nevin for the record. As you will recall, we went through the public process back last fall for the community development block grants. This grant was ultimately selected as our number one project. It was submitted in January. The grant was presented before the CDBG Advisory Committee in March, recommended for approval, and we finally have our grant award. So that is what is before you today, the grant award, grant agreement, and certification letter, all seeking your approval today, and that will allow us to move forward with this project. So it's kind of a long process, you know, to get where we're at today, but that's just the way things go with these grants. So if you have any questions for me, otherwise I think it's...
Was this approximately the same amount as it cost each of the other three?
Yes, it is. Yeah, and this grant is nice. We do not have a required match for it, but we will have some staff time as far as procuring the equipment and those kinds of things that the fire department will be doing. So, yeah, that $114,206.
That's right. So we overhauled four of our ambulances this year.
Yeah, considerably less cost than purchasing a brand new ambulance. Excellent. So when we submitted this grant, you know, a lot of people had questions, really, that's all, you know, the cost. I mean, because another community, I think it was Esmeralda, came looking for a fire truck and, you know, cost over $250,000, $300,000 just for the truck, not with fully equipped. So.
Exactly. Commissioners, any questions for Sherry? Any public comment on this?
I would just chime in. It's getting tougher and tougher to land and be awarded CDBG grants, and I think Sherry's done a phenomenal job packaging this. I know she had good help from, you know, from Gary and the fire people, but you know, you've consistently succeeded in this process where I know an awful lot of other applicants are, you know, crashing and failing. So great job.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Any other public comment?
I'll second that motion. Thank you.
Any other public comment? Hearing none, Commissioner Gilman, if I have a motion.
Yes, sir. I move to approve the Community Development Block Grant, CDBG award in the amount of $114,206 for cab and chassis upgrades to the Story County Fire Protection District, Lockwood Ambulance, and authorization for Sherry Nevin to sign all associated grant documentation.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve and acceptance of the Community Development Block Grant of $114,206. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Moving along now to item number 13, discussion and possible action. Contact with State of Nevada Department of Health and Human Services for provision of Medicaid match services and providing terms on which Story County will be billed by the state for its share of Medicaid expenditures. Mr. Loomis.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Keith Loomis for the record. This is the Medicaid match contract, and Medicaid is a state-administered program providing medical services for largely low-income people. If the components of the program meet federal requirements, then the federal government will put a lot of money in towards the paying the cost of providing the benefits. And one of the things that the federal government requires is that the provision of benefits and the determinations of eligibility be uniform across the state. And the way the state, one of the ways the state accomplishes that is that they have mandated that every county in the state enter into an interlocal agreement with the state to provide the services that the state is going to provide. And that's what this contract is here today. So basically what it does is it provides that Department of Welfare Services will review the eligibility of our residents of this county to receive Medicaid benefits. They will provide a hearing process if the person is denied eligibility, and so they can appeal that process up through the department and even into court if they choose. The Division of Healthcare Financing and Policy is the other state entity that this contract involves, and what they will do is they will review if a person is determined to be eligible and they go out and receive benefits. That division will then review the payments that are made and authorize the payments if the payments are valid, and bill the county for the payments. And there's a variety of other things that they will do that are set out in the staff summary. It does provide that the county will make the payments, and that's based upon a mandatory tax of 8 cents per $100 of value under the ad valorem tax, an ad valorem tax in that amount. And that is mandated by statute and is the sum of our obligation to the state to pay for the Medicaid services. Now, it's my understanding from Susan that the county has never actually even gotten close to that amount, but it is the cap on which the county has liability. And so it's here for you today to decide whether it's a mandatory contract, and it's here. I'm prepared to answer any questions.
Mayor?
Mr. Whitten?
Mayor? I inferred, maybe incorrectly, that all they are referencing in the agreement is that we can tax up to 8% ad valorem, and that is where our liability is capped. We are currently taxing at 1 cent, and it's generating sufficient funds for this account to fund both Medicare and anything else that is eligible under Susan's administration of this. I'm not hearing that from you. Are you saying we're going to have to raise our tax rate by 7 cents, that we're compelled to charge 8 cents?
That's what the statute requires.
Okay, then staff recommends you don't approve this right now. We table it and work on it, because there's been no analysis or thought given to fiscal impacts. I think we need to, if this is going to force a rate increase, you don't want to do this today.
So this falls under indigent medical?
Yes.
On the tax rate?
Yes.
Because it is Medicaid, okay.
It's currently 1 cent, correct?
Right, it's 1 cent.
Yeah. I think we need to chat. We need to do some research, because it was never the intent. We knew all along we could charge up to 8 cents. Thank goodness for try, quite frankly. We haven't had to charge anywhere near 8 cents, and Susan's never pushed the panic button over the fund balances in this account. But if we're compelled to raise the rate, then we've got to, first off, I would advocate we can't change the rate now. We've locked and loaded the rate for the entire fiscal year, and that budget's been approved by the Department of Taxation. So.
All right, well, let me take this back. I'll bring it back next week. The language is, and this is under 428.285, in such a county, the amount of money that the Board of County Commissioners may be required to remit is determined by the director pursuant to this subsection, must not exceed an amount of money equivalent to the amount collected from 8 cents on each $100 of assessed valuation of all taxable property in the county. So it may be discretionary.
Okay, and let me explain that, because I've worked, and actually Marshall has and Hugh has, with Mary Walker and NACO and others. You know, it's in counties such as Carson City, they get hammered because they've got a major hospital, a regional hospital, and they get absolutely peppered with huge, massive claims. What this cap does, as best I understand it, is it limits Carson City's financial obligation to no more than 8 cents per $100. I just want to make absolutely crystal clear that we're not going to be raising the rate to 8%. I mean, that won't work.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to call the comment on this. Anybody have any public comment on this issue? Do you think we should table it or continue this?
I think continue. There's an active agreement on it. We just have to clarify.
Yes.
If you can continue to the next meeting, that'd be great. August 4th, I believe.
I'd make the request to staff that we continue this item for further discussion. And appreciate it.
I'll second that.
And to the next meeting, did you say?
Yeah,
August 4th?
That'd be August 4th.
August 4th.
10 a.m. This room. It's been moved and seconded to continue this item to August the 4th at 10 a.m. in this room. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Willis. Moving along now to item number 14, this is discussion of possible action. Approval of accounts payable date 7/10 of 15 for $771,734.52.
I can handle this if you wish, Curious. You're going to go ahead and finish.
Upon a motion and a second on this, I'm going to move for approval, and I'm going to vote to approve all items except one. There's one check in here for $4,500 that's made out to a business, Bucket of Blood, whom I represent, so I'm going to go ahead and abstain from that one item. So any public comment on the accounts payables today?
I just might add on the Bucket of Blood, and this is the same statement every time. I might as well just record it. However, the dollar amounts change, not on the bucket check. This is a contract approved by previous commissions, and this is simply payment of an existing contract that has been approved by that. So,
it is, and as you know, Mr. Whitten, the question about the chairman abstaining on this particular amount was taken to the Ethics Committee, and the way that the chairman has addressed this issue is correct by the information I received from him.
Right.
Which I don't necessarily agree with ethics on this one, so,
okay.
So we'll continue to follow up with that. I think it's ludicrous.
So if I can get a motion to approve these amounts?
I'll make a motion to approve this amount.
I'll second that motion.
All those favor signal by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries, showing that I abstained from the one item.
Okay.
Moving along now to community development planning, item 15, discussion of possible action. This is a special use permit, 2015-021, by Catherine Ann Moose. The applicant is requesting a special use permit to conduct a mother-in-law quarters attached to an existing garage and single-family residence at 2065 Applegate Road, Virginia City Highlands, Story County, Nevada, APN 003-092-95. Mr. Van Happen.
Good morning. Jason Van Havel for the record, Story County Planning. The application for a special use permit, the subject property is in the Virginia City Highlands, which is zoned single-family residential. A special use permit is required for a mother-in-law quarters, and hence the application. The applicant's mother wishes to relocate from Southern California to the Highlands to be able to dispense her wisdom for her daughter. The provision for a special use permit in the zoning is meant to cover situations just like this. The Planning Commission wished to, their recommendation was to strengthen the language regarding the potential Nevada Department of Water Resources language well metering requirements. So I updated the recommended conditions for approval and distributed that to you. That is to amend the information in the staff report. So with that, the Planning Commission and the staff recommends the approval of the special use permit with the amended requirements. The applicant is here for any questions, or if you have, or if she would like to say anything. With that, do you have any questions? The particular provision that was modified, that was strengthened, was provision number 7 in italics on the back side of the handout.
Commissioners have reasoned through that. We can ask for public comment on this. Does anybody wish to comment on this? Commissioner McGuffey and myself both attended the Planning Commission meeting last week and heard all the testimony given on this. Staff recommends approval on this.
Yeah, I note that the staff has not received any comments from any of the public, so there's no public protest at all.
And the applicant also put the quarters on the other side of the garage, so something to be said about that.
I believe in taking care of the mother-in-law, so I'm glad to see that.
I'm going to recommend approval on this. We have findings on this, three?
The findings are, under Section 5 of the staff report, the special use permit complies with all federal, state, and county regulations. The special use permit does not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the adjacent properties or the surrounding area. The conditions of the special use permit adequately address potential fire hazards and require compliance with the fire codes, including setback and fire protection ratings. The conditions under this special use permit do not conflict with the minimum requirements in the Story County Code Chapter 17.40, Estate Zone, or Chapter 1703.150, Special Use Permits, or any other federal, state, or county regulations, including building and fire codes.
And could you read the beginning, the following findings that refers to number six, section six of the recommended conditions? That you just didn't read that first one.
The following findings, in this case, the previous findings that I just read, our findings of fact are evident with regard to the required special use permit when the recommended conditions for approval in Section 6 as amended, recommended conditions of approval are applied.
Thank you.
All right, once again, I'll ask if there's any public comment on this. Hearing none, look for a motion for approval.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings under Section 5.1 of the staff report and other findings deemed appropriate by the County Commission and in compliance with the conditions of approval in Section 6 of this report, I hereby recommend conditional approval of Special Use Permit Application Number 2015-021 for the construction of the mother-in-law quarters located at 2065 Applegate Road, Virginia City Highlands, Story County, Nevada, APN number 003-092-95.
I'll second the motion.
Very good. It's been moved to second to approve special use permit.
Mr. Chairman, hold on for just a second.
Discussion. Can we make sure that we included the conditions as amended?
All right. Do you want to go ahead and add to that, Mr. McGuffey?
This recommendation would include the amendments as amended.
The conditions as amended?
That have been amended.
Okay.
Yeah.
My second still stands.
Very good. Move to second to approve special use permit 2015-021. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Moving along now to item number 16 for possible action, licensing board second readings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And on behalf of Dean Haymore, Community Development is recommending approval of items A through H and item J as well. Those would be Rosadin Electric, Renowned Health Urgent Care, Applied Soil Water Technologies, Hertz Equipment Rental, Lobo Construction, Sierra Roofing, LRG Construction, Quality Plus Services, and Ionix LLC to be approved.
Very good. So can I get a motion to approve items A through H and J?
I'll make the motion to approve items A through H and item J.
I'll second that motion.
And moving to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And the motion carries.
Thank you. And Community Development is also asking that you continue items I and K. That would be A to Z Truck, Marine, and RV, and Rich Doss, Inc. to be continued to the August 4th meeting.
Very good. You get a motion to continue I and K.
I will move to continue items I and K.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved to second to continue I and K. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And motion carries.
Very good. Moving along now to item number 17, public comment. Ms. Barg.
Nicole Barg, Story County resident. Just two things. One is, what's the status of the Freight Depot purchase, Pierce's property?
We're in negotiations.
Okay.
We don't have a contract yet.
Okay.
We're in negotiations.
Okay. And what's the intended or possible use of the Freight Depot? Is it, what are we going to use it for?
Well, there's multiple possibilities to be used as a depot, mm-hmm. as a passenger depot. We use also as a convention center, can be used for special events. There's a multitude of different.
Can I expand on that a little
sure.
bit? Yeah, I think we're a little bit ahead probably of ourselves on potential intended use, and I have to be careful with my words because the existing owner has certainly cared for it and loves it greatly. So I don't want any of my comments to be construed as negative toward him. But the county over the past at least half century and probably even longer has made it a practice to acquire historic treasures and then pour special resource grant fundings. Fourth Ward School, I think, is the textbook example. You know, under going to draw a total blank as to the Mark Price's leadership, followed up by Barbara and soon to be by Laura. They've done a great job channeling monies from foundations like E.L. Weingarten and others. So it would be our hopes that we could continue on more or less on steroids with what Mr. Powell has done and accomplished during his period of ownership down there and just help preserve and protect it and then okay. look at uses.
Okay. So okay, sir? When yeah. negotiations are done, you'll let us know at that time.
Yeah. Yeah. A new train operator, should Tom ever choose to sell, may see value in extending the line, so Tunnel 6 is still a good shelf product to hold on to.
Okay. My second question is, what are the switch abatements? I mean, we knew what the Tesla abatements were. It was public. It was, you know, galactically communicated. I probably missed it, but what are the switch abatements?
You can do that if you wish.
Yeah.
Okay. To the best of my knowledge, and there were little details to work out, little like, you know, is it all but 2%? If it's the 2% that isn't abated, and I'm going to go into them specifically here in just a minute. If it's the 2%, do we get any of it, the 3 1/4 cent overrides that Hugh mentioned earlier? So specifically, and I'll try to address this by what isn't abated for Tesla, or a switch, excuse me, as opposed to Tesla, and also what is, to answer your question. First off, real property taxes are not abated, period. They will pay 100% of their real property taxes. Keeping in mind that's really just mostly the shell building and ancillary improvements, but still sizable. So they pay 100% of that. They have no desire to ask for that to be abated. Next off, mostly because of the nature of data farms, data servers, there's a massive amount of very expensive equipment that rolls through. For instance, during legislative testimony, the head of Governor's Office of Economic Development talked about, you know, a rack of equipment, one of 1,000 or 2,000, whatever this place will have as capacity, you know, it's being worth at least $250,000 and changing out usually every 18 to 24 months because of either processing efficiencies or, more importantly, most of the time because of energy efficiencies or a combination thereof. They run cooler, they don't need as much, yada, yada, yada. eBay politely got up right after that and said eBay doesn't put, and I apologize to any Kia car owners out there, eBay doesn't put Kia equipment in their racks. They put Cadillac equipment in their racks. Our racks will have a minimum of $1 million in each rack, and eBay is the first anchor tenant. On those, because of the replenishment and everything, if you will, and the dollar amount, those would fall under personal property, and those are abated to a level of 75% for, I want to say, 15 years.
If they pay 25%.
They pay 25% full boat, and 75% is abated. And I believe if you look at the average, what I call the shelf incentive program, they have to meet certain hurdles. You know, I think in this case they have to invest it's at least a half a million, it might be a million, they're going to invest way more than that. But there are, again, similar thresholds to Tesla's, not as dramatic as Tesla's. So they pay 25% on personal property tax, and that's an ongoing thing because it's based on valuations every year as of July 1st. And then their sales and use taxes are abated in full, all but 2%, excuse me, with the 2% going to the state and not to the county for, I believe, a similar period, but I think it's 15 years, Nicole. And if you look at the standard shelf package right now that people like Project Greeley are going to apply for and be eligible for, others, RDOC metals, the standard shelf product right now is 50% abatement of sales and use for 10 years, so that really is an extra increase of 25% in 5 more years. And then personal property is 50% in 10 years, so that's an increase of 25% in 5 more years.
So the all but 2%, and that 2% going to the state means that doesn't go to Washoe either, given the zip code issue.
Not as long as they report it right. You know, I mean, that's the problem that these guys have, you know, and we spend an adequate amount of time, quite frankly, part of me doesn't care who they report it to because it won't get abated unless it goes into the Story County one. It's just like Tesla. So it's in their best interest to make sure because Washoe County has no abatement agreements.
Okay. And there's the size of that deal certainly isn't Tesla, so there's no offsets that they will be providing the county.
Understood.
First
off, I want to clarify, depending on who you talk to at any given time and keeping in mind that Switch is a privately owned corporation, so, you know, I can't speak for them, the amount ultimately of their investments over time upon build out of the campus is staggering. Because of the values of the equipment that are going to go through and churn, the amounts of the payroll that are going into the communities. I won't start a sentence saying it's not as sizable as Tesla. It's got every bit of much potential to far exceed that. But they just didn't take the same approach that Tesla did. They took, we need better abatements than the standard shelf products are out there. We need abatements for the uniqueness of our facilities. But they will be paying their way. So there were no provisions. So I guess I should add in, we deeply discounted our plan review and permitting fees for Tesla. For a project like this, we have no such authority to do that, and we won't be doing it. And it has already been discussed with them right up front. These are our fees charged by community development. These are our fees charged by the fire district. And their executive vice president of construction has said, okay, I get it. Thank you very much. Where do you want me to send the check? So there'll be 100% payment of all that, contrary to what we experienced with Tesla. Since they're paying 100% of their real property tax, and what should be staggering amounts on personal property tax, there was really no need to go back to them and say we need help staffing a fire station or adding more cops or doing that stuff. Their employee impact will, in my opinion, probably be less than Tesla in terms of body counts. Mm-hmm. If we can, several of us toured the Las Vegas campus, we can expect maybe up to 400 actual Switch employees, and then certainly the eBays of the world, the MGM Grands, any other anchor, will have a number of people either on-site daily or on-site periodically, depending on their own requirements, because they run their systems. Switch is basically just like us, a storage garage.
So will they also then be doing, you know, the example being like in the Highlands, you know, if I put in a pole, I pay so everyone else has had to pay for that pole. You had mentioned as part of the Tesla agreement relative to the utilities and some of the infrastructure, they're willing to front us that money, but that as more people come in. Now, is that more people in the Tesla ecosystem or is it more people anywhere in TRI?
Great question. Little complex answer, but really it's pretty simple. That methodology that you mentioned, the NV Energy line extension methodology, that was a factor in our agreement with Tesla, but strictly as far as who pays a percentage of that Quint fire truck that I mentioned, the 110-foot ladder truck. We had to get that particular piece of equipment only because of Tesla. We had equipment that would service up to 55 feet. It was certified, and the ladder would go 55 feet. but we needed higher because Tesla's 72 feet, I believe. So
with Tesla, we did agree, the commission agreed, that should another building go in Frye that exceeds 55 feet in height, then those payments will be shared under that strategy or that structure. This building will not be 55. It will not exceed 55.
So they're not doing any, you're not doing any billbacks on the Tesla specific?
Not for this project because it doesn't exceed 55 feet. And that, by the way, only applied to the Quint truck. It did not apply to anything else.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you.
Good. Any other public comment? We're adjourned.